Hitler's War by David Irving. Wetting the Blade. Less regular visitors that summer of 1938 were the military. Occasionally, they gathered in the Berghof's Great Hall, Army and Air Force generals or experts on fortifications, standing uncomfortably on the terracotta red carpet, or staring uneasily at the oak-paneled ceiling until the Führer came downstairs to hear them out. He could not fathom his generals. To Hitler, a new nation's first war was as essential as cutting teeth to a growing child. 6 years from now, on June 22, 1944, he would put this blunt philosophy to a secret audience of newly promoted generals, quote, "Whatever is born into this world must suffer pain on its arrival. The first sign of life that a child gives as it leaves its mother's womb is not a cry of joy, but a cry of pain. The mother, too, feels only pain, and every nation emerging in this world is also accompanied by trials and suffering. That's the way things are. The birth certificate of nations must always be written out in blood." Unquote. The Luftwaffe worked hard all summer planning bombing attacks on Czech cities and airborne operations. All this was, however, anathema to the effete and elderly Reichswehr generals, especially Ludwig Beck, the chief of general staff. He fired off wordy memoranda all summer, marshaling spurious arguments against Green. Even if Hungary attacked simultaneously, the campaign would still last at least 3 weeks, but the new West Wall could not hold out more than 2 weeks against the French. Hitler's emergency plan to arm labor service battalions to man the West Wall was, quote-unquote, a military impossibility. General Beck thoroughly endorsed the idea of destroying Czechoslovakia, but procrastinator that he was, he preferred it all to come, quote, in the future, unquote, not now when he was chief of general staff. His memoranda grew both shriller and gloomier, until by mid-July 1938 he was threatening Brauchitsch that he would call on the leading generals to resign with him if the Führer would not abandon his intentions. Brauchitsch showed the document to Hitler. Beck's arguments were riddled with fallacies, among them being that German arms production could never be increased, or that all Germans' allies were weak and unreliable, while her enemies were resolute and powerful. To appreciative audiences like Tott, Schmunt, and Engel, Hitler tore the arguments to shreds. For example, Beck had included France's Garde Mobile, police, and Gendarmerie, as well as her regular army, but had not added to the German army strength the equivalent SA, SS, or police battalions. Quote, "Beck should not think me stupid," unquote, he complained. When it was all over, he recounted in secret to hand-picked Nazi editors what this internal struggle was like. Quote, "You can take it from me, gentlemen. It was not always easy either to take such decisions or to stand by them, because obviously the whole nation does not throw its weight behind them, far less the intellectuals. There are, of course, lots of gifted characters, at least they regard themselves as gifted, and they conjured up more obstacles than enthusiasm about such decisions. That's why it was all the more important that I stood by the decisions I took back in May and carried them out with iron determination in face of every opposition." End quote. Hitler also had a low opinion of the army's engineers. He found the Army's Inspector of Engineers and Fortifications, General Otto Forster, quite ignorant of bunker design and modern weapons technology. Mistrustfully, he sent Goering and Luftwaffe experts to inspect the Army's progress with the West Wall early in June. By early 1938, only 640 blockbusters had been completed. Not blockbusters, blockhouses. Blockhouses had been completed here, and until Hitler's recent demand for 12,000 more, the army had only been planning to add another 1,360 during 1938. Goering called at the Berghof on June 14th and, together with Tott, delivered a devastating report on the progress made by the army so far. Virtually nothing had been done, he claimed. For instance, the entire Istein block boasted only 2 puny machine guns. The comparisons were not fair to the 60-year-old General Oberst Adam, because he had had first to solve all the problems of accommodating, feeding, and supplying the huge construction force. And while Tott's mass production of the earlier pillbox designs would not begin until early August, the army was struggling with much more complex sights. Hitler was very angry. Brauchitsch, in turn, required Adam to visit the Berghof on June 30th. Adam did not mince his language. He described Hitler's order to erect 12,000 bunkers by October 1st as impossible. Quote, "It's written in the stars," he put it, "how much we'll have done by autumn," unquote. Hitler retorted, quote, "The word impossible is unknown to Tott," unquote. Tott himself was puzzled by all this army rancor and wrote that day to the adjutant of Rudolf Hess, Alfred Leitgen, quote, "You put up with a lot of things that, frankly, you don't expect after 5 years of National Socialism," unquote. The outcome of all this was a remarkable document dictated by Hitler to Secretary Christa Schroeder, a wordy essay on fortification design and infantry psychology. It turned on his insistence that the West Wall must conserve the fighting power of its defenders, not just their bare skins. He ridiculed the monstrous Infanterieverk designed by the army engineers. Hitler's ideal was a small, gas-tight pillbox that could be easily mass-produced and scattered in depth along the line to shelter his infantry from the enemy's softening-up bombardment. Once the bombardment was over, these pillboxes would disgorge their troops, their weapons unscathed, into the open to engage the subsequent French infantry attack. Quote, "To be killed then is honorable," Hitler explained, "but to get smoked out of a blockhouse is not only cowardly, but stupid," unquote. He knew that the infantryman was a human being with mortal fears and the need for sleep, food, fresh water, and shelter. How many of his comrades of the World War had died needlessly while going to the latrines just because of the short-sightedness of the Otto Forsters who had forgotten to provide them in the bunkers? Quote, "Particularly the younger soldiers in combat for the first time will need to relieve themselves more frequently," unquote, Hitler dictated. Elsewhere, his document observed, quote, "Only somebody who has fought a defensive battle for weeks or months on end will know the true value of a flask of drinking water and how happy the troops are when they can just brew up some tea or coffee," unquote. On July 4th, he dictated to Fritz Tott that building projects that could not be ready that year must take second place to this wall, quote, "which is a project that will make any further work in peacetime possible," unquote, as Tott admonished State Secretary Werner Willikens the next day. All that summer, Hitler's adjutants saw him sketching new bunker designs. He laid down how thick the concrete should be, the amount of steel reinforcing, the position of each girder. The sketches became blueprints. The blueprints became wooden forms and webs of reinforcing. The millions of tons of concrete were added, and at the rate of 70 sites a day, the West Wall took shape. By late August, 148,000 construction workers were employed. The army engineers provided 50,000 more. 100 trains a day transported the construction materials to the west. 6 batteries of former naval 170mm guns were to be sited so that they could bombard the French towns of Strasbourg, Colmar, and Mulhouse in retaliation for any French attack on German towns. On August 12th, Tott was again summoned to the Berghof and ordered by Hitler to build an intermediate position consisting of hundreds of the heavy strong points he had himself sketched. Tott decided to shut down work on several Autobahn sections to find the workers and foremen necessary. How much of this was all pure bluff, we shall never know. Spitzi himself witnessed one act after an excellent luncheon with him and his private staff. A manservant announced the arrival of a noble British emissary. Hitler started up in agitation, quote, "Gott in Himmel, don't let him in yet! I'm still in a good humor," unquote. Before his staff's eyes, he then worked himself up, Solo, into an artificial rage. His face darkened, he breathed heavily, and his eyes glared. Then he went next door and acted out for the unfortunate lord, a scene so loud that every word was audible from the lunch table. 10 minutes later, he returned with sweat beading his brow. He carefully closed the door behind him and said with a chuckle, quote, "Gentlemen, I need tea. He thinks I'm furious," unquote. Hitler was one of the masters of psychological warfare, too. Quote, "Thank God they all read German and take our newspapers," unquote, he would remark about his opponents with a snigger in November. In August, he explained his method to his generals, quote, "Put the wind up them, show them your teeth," unquote. Each day, he scanned the Forschungsamt's latest wiretaps on the phone conversations between Prague and Czech diplomats abroad to keep track of his own success. He deliberately spread misinformation about the actual date of any planned invasion. On May 22nd, he had received Heinlein in secret. 2 days later, Heinlein confided to the Hungarian military attaché in Prague, Esterhazy, quote, "The Führer has assured me that the present gap in the West Wall will be sealed in 8 or 10 weeks, and then he'll tackle the Czech problem," unquote. On July 15th, he briefed Wiedemann, whom he knew from the wiretaps to be a chatterbox, to tell Lord Halifax on his coming trip to London that the deadline was March 1939. On August 9th, he stressed to Fritz Tott that work on the West Wall would continue to October 1st at least. Quote, "probably even until October 15th. In short, until the first shots rang out," unquote. 2 days later, he ordered Halder to have 6 170mm gun batteries ready to open fire by the last day in September. As Hitler explained somewhat superfluously to Wiedemann before his departure, he was a revolutionary and as such unapproachable by the techniques of old-style diplomacy. On July 12th, Hitler instructed Ribbentrop to quote-unquote talk tough on Czechoslovakia. Goering's Luftwaffe, Ribbentrop must say, was invincible. He himself, he told Ribbentrop on a later occasion, would be in one of the first tanks invading Czechoslovakia. On July 14th, the Danzig Gauleiter Albert Forster met Mr. Winston Churchill and told him that, quote, "if Germany and Britain could only come to terms, they could share the world between them," unquote. 4 days later, on July 18th, Wiedemann flew back from London to Berchtesgaden. Lord Halifax, he said, had revealed to him that his one ambition in life before he died was to see the Führer, quote, "at the side of the King of England, driving to Buckingham Palace to the cheers of crowds," unquote. Hitler realized that his army generals viewed the immediate future less festively. Early in August 1938, he learned from General von Reichenau that there had been a gathering on August 4th of the most senior generals. Beck had read out his latest memorandum and called for concerted opposition by the army. As Hitler quipped to his staff, Beck was only ever able to make up his mind when his decision was against doing something. Hitler called to the Berghof's Great Hall, the general's chief of staff, and spoke to them for 3 hours. When, however, he spoke at one point of the West Wall, Major General Gustav von Wietersheim quoted his superior, General Adam, as predicting that the wall could be defended for 3 weeks at most. Hitler began to leaf through his notes and suddenly interrupted him with a torrent of facts and figures on the quantities of concrete, iron, and steel invested in the fortifications. Hitler declaimed, quote, "I'm telling you, General, the position there will be held not for 3 weeks, but for 3 years," unquote. On the day after the meeting, General von Lieb learned of it from his chief of staff, Manstein, quote, "he's just come from the Führer," unquote, Lieb put in his diary of August 11th, quote, "thinks the chips are already down." Quote, "what manner of generals are these, that one has to whip into war instead of holding them back," unquote, Hitler asked in exasperation. An immediate antidote had to be found. He invited all the army's generals to attend a demonstration at the Jüterbog Artillery School on August 15th. He had in fact planned several such artillery demonstrations. On November 10th, he was to explain to his appreciative Nazi editors, quote, "I was convinced that these months of activity would slowly but surely get on the nerves of the gentlemen in Prague," unquote. At Jüterbog, construction workers had erected exact replicas of the Czech frontier fortifications. Now, Colonel Walter Model, head of the General Staff's experimental branch, staged an infantry assault on them. According to Kurt Liebman, it was, quote, "pure theater, with much Donner und Blitzen and shouts of hurrah," unquote. General Beck was furious, but could say nothing. Now Hitler ordered the 150mm howitzers to open fire on the quote-unquote Czech bunkers, followed by the other guns, including the high-velocity 88mm anti-aircraft guns, of which he had ordered 100 placed at the army's disposal for the assault. After the deafening barrage stilled, he clambered through the smoke, the smoking and battered concrete hulks, while Keitel's adjutant struck matches to illuminate the gloom. Only direct hits on the embrasures had had any real effect. Hitler emerged grinning, however, knocked the dust off his brown party tunic, and loudly professed himself astonished at the devastation. In the canteen, he spoke to the generals. Erhard Milch made a brief diary note, quote, "August 15th, 1938. Führer's speech to the generals, 2:45 to 4:15 p.m. A glimpse into his thinking. His mind is made up," unquote. Keitel's adjutant Eberhard wrote a more complete record. This shows that Hitler once again rehearsed the problem of Lebensraum. Quote, "It is my one great fear that something may befall me personally before I can put the necessary decisions into effect," unquote, he explained. He had already taken the first seven steps. He had founded the party to, quote-unquote, clean up in Germany, established political unity in 1933, taken Germany out of the League of Nations and thus restored her freedom of action, rearmed, reintroduced conscription, remilitarized the German Rhineland, and reunited Austria with the Reich. The eighth step now lay ahead. Quote, "However the situation may develop, Czechoslovakia has got to be eliminated before anything else. In political life, there is but one moment when the goddess of fortune wafts by," he declaimed, "and if you don't grab her by the hem, you won't get a second chance." Unquote. Britain's rearmament was barely 1 year old, he pointed out. Quote, "They'll recoil as long as we show no signs of weakening," unquote. The quality of France's artillery and aircraft was dubious. Of Russia, Hitler had no fears whatever. As for Czechoslovakia herself, a war of nerves would do as much as anything. Quote, "If somebody is forced to watch for 3 long months while his neighbor whets the blade," unquote. Hitler left the sentence unfinished. In his view, after a brief spell of fanatical quote-unquote Hussite, and there's a asterisk related to Hussite, let's check it out. It's the reference is to Jan Hus, the Czech patriot and revolutionary. Back up. So read that again. In his view, after a brief spell of fanatical, quote-unquote, Hussite resistance, Czechoslovakia would be finished. Hitler concluded his speech, quote, "I am firmly convinced that Germany will win and that our National Socialist upbringing will see us through," unquote. And he added, quote, "I believe that by the time this year is out, we shall all be looking back on a great victory," unquote. Beck was horrified by all of this. In Berlin the next day, August 16th, General Lieb entered in his private diary, quote, "Chips down. Führer convinced Britain and France won't intervene. Beck, opposite opinion. Gloomy mood," unquote. At Jüterbog, Beck had exclaimed to General Adam, quote, "After a graphic display like that, the man, that is Hitler, will only go more berserk than ever," unquote. He said he was going to wait until Hitler, quote-unquote, threw him out, but submitted his resignation offer to Brauchitsch on the 18th nonetheless. Hitler asked Beck to stay on for the time being for quote-unquote reasons of foreign policy, and Beck meekly agreed. He probably hoped for command of an army group, but nothing was further from Hitler's mind. By the end of August 1938, General Franz Halder, 54, a Bavarian of slight physique and a mild pedantic temperament, had taken over the general staff. Beck was right out. Throughout that month, August 1938, the quote-unquote wetting the blade continued. When the chief of the French Air Force, General Joseph Vuillemin, was shown around the Luftwaffe's installations, Goering arranged a spectacular but deceitful display from one end of Germany to the other. The French delegation secretly advised Paris that the French Air Force would not last many days against Hitler's Luftwaffe. When Hitler tried to bribe the Hungarians into promising outright support of his invasion of Czechoslovakia, however, he was disappointed. Hungary had been dismembered after the World War, losing slabs of territory to Czechoslovakia. A flamboyant week-long state visit by the Hungarians, coupled with the launching of a battlecruiser named Prince Eugen in their honor, and there's an asterisk relating to that, Italy had objected to the original choice of name, Admiral Tegetthoff, offered by Hitler to Schuschnigg. So, back up. Prince Eugen, in their honor and asterisk, failed to extract more than conditional undertakings from their regent. Admiral Miklos von Horthy. They were not ready for war. In 1937, Beck had indicated that the target was 1940, and as the Hungarian defense minister Gino Ratz confided to Keitel on August 22, 1938, Hungary had laid plans accordingly. Hitler had used all his gangster charms to impress the visitors. Knowing that Madame Horthy was a devout Catholic, he had placed a prayer stool and crucifix in her rooms, as well as a large bouquet of her favorite flower, Lily of the Valley. Then he took Horthy and his staff aboard the German state yacht Grilla so that the old admiral could feel the throb of engines and the pull of waves beneath his feet again. The secret meetings, which began on August 23rd during a sea trip to Heligoland, were stormy. In the morning, Hitler conferred privately with Horthy. The regent declared his willingness on principle to participate in Green, but said that 1938 was far too early. Horthy picturesquely reminded the Führer and Hungary that Hungary had, quote, 150 Yugoslav camps, unquote, along her other borders. When he then enlarged on the risk that Green would unleash a world war, resulting in Germany's defeat by the British Navy, Hitler impatiently interrupted him, quote, rubbish, hold your tongue, unquote. It was inconceivable to him that Hungary was so reluctant to fight to regain her part of Slovakia. As he sourly pointed out to Imrie after that afternoon, quote, this is going to be a cold buffet. There will be no waiter service. Everybody will have to help himself, unquote. They returned by separate trains to Berlin on August 24th. On the train, Admiral Raeder sought a private interview with Hitler and asked him about the likelihood of naval warfare with Britain. He set out the formidable strategic problems that Germany would face. Hitler listened politely and ended their interview after an hour with the remark, quote, Herr Admiral, what you and I have been discussing is pure theory. Britain will not fight, unquote. He maintained the pressure on their Hungarian visitors. Keitel visited Ratz in his hotel on August 25th, according to the Hungarian record, and again emphasized Hitler's firm resolve to occupy Czechoslovakia. He added that only the date was uncertain. When Ratz asked the Führer next day what act would be considered a sufficient Czech provocation, Hitler replied, quote, the murder of German citizens, unquote. Protected by 2,000 security agents, Hitler set out on August 26, 1938, from Berlin for a much-publicized inspection of the West Wall. At Aachen, near the Belgian frontier, General Adam met him, and indicated that what he had to say was secret. He asked for Himmler, the labor service chief of Konstantin Hirel, and Fritz Tott to withdraw from the dining car, leaving Generals Brauchitsch, Keitel, and Jodl. Adam stoutly began, quote, "As general commanding the Western Front, I obviously have a far better insight into the situation here than anybody else, and my worries are consequently bigger," unquote. Hitler interrupted menacingly, quote, quote-unquote, "Get to the point!" Adam embarked on a long-winded warning that by the time the winter frosts set in, they would not have completed more than one-third of the West Wall at most, and that he, as the military commander, must always take the worst possible case into account, namely that the Western powers would march. He got no further. Hitler interrupted again, this time finally to end the conference. In a convoy of three-axle cross-country vehicles, he toured the construction sites with Adam's sector commanders. The narrow country lanes were choked with thousands of heavy trucks carrying sand, gravel, steel, cement, and tarpaulin-sheeted objects that were obviously guns and ammunition, westward to the wall. Afterwards, he returned to the train for further conferences and to sleep. The General Staff's records show that he tried to convince the generals that France would not risk serious intervention so long as she felt menaced by Italy in North Africa and along her Alpine frontier. General Adam remained pessimistic. Hitler stubbornly maintained, quote, "I will not call off the attack on Czechoslovakia," unquote. On the 29th, the last day of this tour, he proclaimed to the generals, quote, "Only a scoundrel would not be able to hold this front," unquote. General Adams stood there with his tail between his legs, according to Keitel's adjutant Eberhard. Hitler rebuked the unfortunate Western Front commander, quote, "I only regret that I am Führer and Chancellor and not Commander-in-Chief of the Western Front," unquote. It was obvious to Keitel that Adams' days in command were numbered. And that is the chapter.